So good afternoon once again. I do not want to trip over this wire, so I'm just going to move that right over there. So, before we have the word for today, I think it's always good and appropriate to start with a word of prayer once again. So once again, I ask you to bow your heads, to close your eyes and join me in saying a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you that you have not left us alone, that you never let us go. That we may try to wander off and that we might try to do our own thing. But just as you go after that one lost sheep, you go after us, that you know your children, even if we tend to stray. Thank you for your great love for us. Thank you that we can call you Father and that you call us your beloved children. Lord, today as I read from your word, as we look at your word, what your word has to say for us today, I pray that you will be merciful and gracious and speak directly to our hearts. May there be a word for each of us in the exact timing and place that we need to hear it. You know where we're at. You know what we need to hear. Lord, may your Holy Spirit move amongst us today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So we have reached the end of our six-part sermon series going through a chapter and a half of the book of Ephesians. We started in Ephesians chapter 4:32, and now we've reached the end, couple of verses, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 to 9. The title is In the Workplace for Today. We've been looking at Christ-centered relationships. And in the last 3 weeks, we've been getting very specific, looking at the relationship between wives and husbands, between parents and children. And today we'll look at the relationship in the workplace between employers and employees. So, without further ado, let me ask you to open up your Bibles. I hope you've brought them today. We will look at Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 to 9. So I will be reading for us in the NIV translation, Ephesians 6, 5 to 9. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people, because you know that the Lord will reward each one for whatever good they do, whether they are slave or free. And masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. This is the word of the Lord. So as we go through it, let me highlight three parts that I'd like to go through with. And these are basically three things that we can take from our text, and they're also instructions. The first one is that in the workplace, we are to serve as if you are working with Jesus himself. Secondly, we have a warning, we have a temptation, the command, don't be tempted to be an insincere people pleaser. And thirdly, the last verse, verse 9, treat others as you want them to treat you. So let's begin as we begin to look through our text and see what it has to say for us today. So let me recap verses 5 and 7. Ephesians 6, 5 says, slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. And verse 7, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people. Now, before we get into our text, let me say a few words to us about this topic of slaves and masters. So a common objection that we sometimes hear to Christianity itself is its attitude towards slavery. So people may say, well, why doesn't the Bible really boldly speak out against the evils of slavery? Why doesn't Paul, especially the New Testament writers, why don't they exhort the slaves to be free and the masters to set free the slaves? Instead, we just see in a text like this that Paul is just addressing the relationship between slaves and masters? Well, to this objection, we may say this. The Bible never tolerates slavery. Now, in the context that Paul is writing to, in this city of Ephesus, it was like many of the Roman cities at that time, which had more or less a third to a half of the population were slaves. So teachers and doctors, educated people, would also be considered slaves. And so if from one day to the next, if all of the slaves were to be set free, literally the whole of society would just collapse. Slaves were a part of people's families. If the slaves would be set free from one day to the next, they would likely have no home or no employment. Yet what we see in our text is a young Christian faith, just a few years, very in its infancy, with no political weight, unlawful, but already pick up on the fact that Paul is undermining this relationship between slaves and masters. He is challenging and changing it from the very beginning. And actually what we see, as Christianity grew, as more and more people began to live according to our text, we see the influence of Christianity having such an effect as to have the eradication of slavery within the Roman world. Now in our text, in our world today, we may not see so much of slavery. It's unlikely that in our daily places of work that we will encounter it so much. Yet I think that we can take some of these principles that the Apostle Paul gives us and apply them to the workplace arena, to the relationship between employers and employees. And we can learn a great deal from what Paul has to say about this. So this is what I intend to do. So, firstly then, last week we saw that children are to obey their parents, and the reason why is because of their relationship with Jesus. You may not automatically think that, but Paul frames it because of their relationship with Christ, because of their obedience with Christ, and this is a running theme that we have seen in our look at Ephesians. Time and time again, we've seen Paul repeat this truth. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. This is one of the key takeaways from this whole series, from our look at Ephesians. And this is it. Your vertical relationship with God, your willingness to surrender to Him and obey His commands will affect your horizontal relationships with others. Your vertical relationship affects your horizontal relationship. There is not a separation. You belong to Christ. You are to display Christ to everybody. You cannot say, I love God, I obey God, but I can't stand people. And I'm just waiting to get to my remote hut where I don't have to be around people. We cannot have that. We cannot think in this way. You are made to be a person of community. Human beings are created in this way, that we need the solitude, we need the silence and the quiet times with the Lord, but we cannot escape the fact the Lord has placed you and me with other people. There's no cowboy Christianity. There's no individual, isolated, I've got this alone Christianity. You cannot say, I'm enjoying wonderful times with the Lord, but go around snapping at people in the office. It does not compute. So in our text, Paul is basically telling slaves this truth. Live out your faith where you are at the moment. If you get a chance to be free, take it. He says that in another letter. But where you are at the moment, live out your faith. And he says that to you and me as well. He says to you and me, we don't have to start immediately training for some other job or even to go into the church ministry to be away from these pagan unbelievers. No, you are to remain where you are for the moment and take Christ into that workplace. And the reward is a heavenly reward. And the reward is you will conquer those circumstances around you, difficult as they may be when you do that. Verse 5 says the first way we can take Christ into our workplace is to have a relationship with your boss, with your team leader, with your project manager that is characterized by respect and sincerity. Respect and sincerity. Respect their authority because God has placed them as an earthly authority over you. God is sovereign over them. But let us remember Paul's words in Romans 13, which get at this. He writes this, "Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves." This means we cannot groan, complain, fire off that rude email, gossip behind our boss's back. That's not how we are to be in the workplace. Now, you might be saying or thinking inwardly to yourself, "You don't know my boss. You don't know, man, you don't know him." That's true, I don't know your boss. But I know that our attitude in the workplace should be of fearful reverence. Fearful reverence because we are to display Christ all of the time. That everything we do is to be a loving reflection of Christ in our lives, and we don't want to misrepresent him. That is what is at stake. We are taking Christ with us into the workplace. Let us be a witness and ambassador for him. Now, if an earthly authority that has been placed over us asks us to do something that would disobey God, that asks us to go against moral, ethical principles, like, for example, lying or being a little bit untruthful to a customer, or to change the numbers a little bit on that account, we cannot do that. We cannot go against our conscience in that way, but we can still state that to our employers in a way that is full of respect and sincerity. So our verse in verse 7 also says that we are to serve our bosses as if you were serving the Lord himself. And there are many verses which back up this truth. Let me illustrate a couple of other verses which get at verse 7. Colossians 3:17 also says something similar. "Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." 1 Corinthians 10:31 says also something similar. "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." Do we have that mindset amongst us? That we are a permanent slave of Christ wherever we go. We are to serve him. I'd like us to also give us a story that also illustrates this truth. It's from somebody not so well known. It's from a writer called Ethel B. Sutton. And it's from her book, Today's Good Word. But I think it's a lovely story that I found, and I'd like to share it with you. So it's a story of a young British soldier who was blinded in battle. And he was a trained musician. So after he recovered from his injury, he spent much of his time playing the piano for the wounded who had been sent to London Hospital. And he sometimes wondered if anybody was actually paying attention to this music. He often heard the tramping of feet and visitors around him, but he could not see them. His hope is that he would encourage and comfort them by the playing of his music. One day, he paused to rest, and he heard somebody heartily clapping the music. Turning his sightless eyes in that direction, he asked with a smile, "Who are you?" "I am your king," was the reply. The British monarch himself was visiting the wounded to cheer them up. Without realizing it, the young man had been using his talent to entertain royalty. I want us to imagine something now. Imagine that the King of Kings, Jesus Christ himself, was one of the members of your project team, one of your fellow co-workers. You go into your workplace tomorrow, and lo and behold, Jesus is there. He's speaking your tongue, your mother tongue. He's bringing his revolutionary ideas to the project. He's working alongside you on that deadline. Now, consider this question. Would that have any influence on your attitude in the workplace? Would it make any difference to how you are in the workplace? Would you talk to your colleagues a little bit differently? Would you get a little bit stressed out, less stressed out? I've got Jesus here. I can be a little bit less stressed out about this. Would you work a little bit harder because Jesus is on the team? There's a quote from Charles Spurgeon who says this. He says, wholeheartedness, like working hard, shows itself in perseverance. There may be failure at first, but the earnest worker will say, it is the Lord's work, and it must be done. My Lord has bidden me, has told me to do it, and in his strength, I will accomplish it. In his strength. In his strength. Now, listen up. Because just as it would be so great if Jesus was one of your colleagues, the reality for you is actually a lot better than that. You know that, right? The reality for you is much better. Because Jesus told his disciples this. When before he was about to ascend, he said, listen, it is much better for you that I go away. He had been around his disciples 3 years, 24/7, but it's much better for you that I go away, because then I can send you the Holy Spirit. John 16, verse 7 tells us this, but very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. I want you to go into your workplace tomorrow, or wherever it is that you have to study your work, and know this truth and be grounded in this spiritual secret. Christ already lives in you. He already is in you and wants to do any little thing that you have to do through you. He actually wants to do it through you in his strength. Whatever you're fearful about, whatever you're stressed out about, know that truth. Much better than a colleague, you have the Spirit of the Lord dwelling in you. Is that a reality for you? Consider it. Our next verse gets at a temptation that we have, something that may hinder us from having this relationship of respect and sincerity with our bosses and taking Christ into the workplace. The temptation is this. Verse 6 in the NIV, obey them, your employer, not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. And I always like to look at other translations. I also very much appreciate the ESV. The ESV says this, not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. I think we can admit that treating our bosses with respect, with sincerity, does not always come easy. You're right, I don't know your boss, especially, and there are some nasty bosses out there. I'm hoping that you're not one of them. But there are some people out there who are very ego-driven guys, passive-aggressive guys, mean guys. My wife once had a boss, and this is going back some time, but she once had a boss who was one of these guys. One time he gathered all of the team, this large team together, all of the employees into this room, and he told the whole team, okay, you're all going to have to come in this weekend and work for free. And if you don't, I'm going to have to fire these people. And he then proceeded to read out a list of people who he would have to fire. This guy, Frau Wentworth. So my wife's name was also on there. And it is tough to obey and respect a boss like that. But it is also tough, you see, even if the team leader is nice, even if the team leader is really pleasant, because there is a temptation only to be sincere, only to work really hard when the boss is there. Right there. How do you work in your workplace if the boss has gone away for a week? The office is pretty empty, a lot of people off sick, nobody to report to. How do you work then? Here is an application question coming out of our text for you and me. Do you do your best even if your boss is not around? Do you do your best even if no one is around? Are you still working hard? There is a quote, a very famous quote, you may have heard it. It's by a basketball coach called John Wooden. And he talks about what character is. He says this: the true test of a man's character, a woman's character, a person's character, is what he does when no one's watching. Nobody is around. How do you and I act then? Do you still continue to give your best, or do you waste away the hours on the internet? Or even worse, the temptation to be insincere begins the moment we arrive at work. The very moment you drive up to work and you park your car in the office car park, and then you park your faith there, you get out and you go to the office. Or on the bus on the way to work, you read your Bible. You're a good Christian reading your Bible. It's your stop. You put the Bible in the bag. You get out and forget everything it just said for the last 9 hours. It's very easy for you and I to think of faith life, work life, and compartmentalize it. And you know what? I've tried that. I have also been in situations where I regularly had to teach large groups of soldiers. And I was always tempted, what do I do with my faith? And every single time I did not display Christ, this burden, this weight on my conscience, I'm not being sincere. I'm not doing it. You cannot live in this way. But the temptation for you and I will go on through the day. And it may look like something like this. The temptation to be insincere. In one meeting, you go into a meeting and everybody is against some project or some idea. And you're just hearing it nonstop. Oh man, I really don't want to do that project. And you know what? You also start saying it. Ah yeah, that project. Terrible project. You also voice your concerns. Hour later, you go into another meeting. Everybody is for the project. The exact same project. Can't wait for this project. Really looking forward to the project. And you say, yeah, looking forward to the project. Can't wait for the project. You've just become an insincere person. A person who is not a person of integrity. We are not to live like that. But there is a temptation to live like that. And the temptation happens when we fail to see our work lives as simply an extension of our permanent status as a slave of Christ. That is our permanent status. If the kingdom of God stops at the bus stop, how are people in your office going to see Christ displayed through you? They're going to see it through you. The thing is, people actually notice. People do talk. Whether you are, you and I might not be aware of this, but I'm telling you something, people notice you. And they talk. So imagine this. Imagine your boss has gone away for some period of time, nobody is around. But instead of slacking off, you work so hard and achieve all of those deadlines. Your boss comes back, and everybody knows. It's human nature. It's sinful human nature to slack off when the boss is away. But lo and behold, what you have done goes against that. You've worked hard while the boss was away. That doesn't compute for that person. And I'm telling you something, in a little way, in a small way, that person will become interested in you, curious as to why you were still working so hard. And maybe you have the chance to say, well, I'm actually serving Christ wherever I go. I'm serving you, but I am to work hard and do everything for the glory of Christ. Oh, just those seeds to be sown. Or imagine these two sets of people, these different sets of people in the meeting. You know what? They know each other. And they come together and they talk. Who is for the project? Who is against the project? And then they talk about you. This guy. Yeah, he's for both. He just says whatever people want to say. Yeah, don't listen to him. But imagine, instead, in the face of a little bit of opposition, you actually sincerely gave your opinion. You may not like the confrontation. It's easy to say what everybody says. But actually, you gave your peace of mind. When the opportunity comes, people will give you a fair hearing when it comes about Christ, because you're a person of conviction. You're a person of integrity, and people register that. So our last verse, we've spent a lot of time looking at the role of the employee. Let us look at the role of the employer. Treat others as you want them to treat you. Verse 9, and masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. First thing to say, every employee is equal before God. Standing equal before God, there is no favoritism. Which is why Paul applies the golden rule. Treat others, do to others as you want them to treat you. And you can begin to see, as the Christians in Paul's time began to apply this, it meant a radical shift in the relationship. Employers, team leaders, project managers, you want respect? Show it. You want people to respect you? Demonstrate it. Know this truth, that any earthly authority that has been given to you must not be used as a weapon. It must not be used as a weapon. Paul says in his text, do not threaten them. Now, in Paul's time, that was a real thing, because masters would easily threaten their slaves with the whip, with death even. Now, you probably cannot imagine that being the same for you, right? Unless you work for the mafia or something like that. But even still, there are very subtle ways that we can threaten people, that we can pressurize people, that we can lean on people just a little bit. So employers, listen up. If you know that one of your employees is sick and has been sick for some weeks, don't take that time to say to them, come on, I know you can do your best. Just encourage them despite them being sick. It's very easy to lean on somebody, because you know what? Behind it, the employer is worried about their reputation. Their pride is at stake. It's easy to say something like, you need to give this work all of yourself, your top priority, because I heard they're cutting back. And so you want to work really hard. Very easy to give that kind of pressure. But let us remember this truth, employer, employee. We have a master in heaven. And that master in heaven is gentle, forgiving, and kind to us. Let us not allow our own reputation, our own pride, to get into the way. So the application question for every employer is this. Do you treat people as people or as machines? Somebody who can help you get the work done. Very easy for us to think of people like that. You're just a worker. But instead, do we see the person behind them, both in the secular workplace and also in the church? This applies. Do we see the person behind them and care and compassion for that person? When we look at the life of Jesus Christ, we know this truth. He came as a servant. Just meditate on the truth that Jesus spent most of his life in the family business. No doubt, apprenticed by his earthly father, in the wood and carpentry trade. Most of his life was simply spent with his hands working hard. He knows what it's like to build up a big sweat, to work hard. Most of his life was spent doing that. And then, for a shorter period of time, cleaning feet, healing the sick, healing people, feeding the hungry. He came as the servant, and he came as the master. Jesus told his disciples that all power, all authority has been given over him. And in Romans 14, verse 9, it tells us this truth. Christ died and rose again for this very purpose, to be Lord of all. To be Lord both of the living and of the dead. Jesus is the master of every employer and every employee. He knows what it is like to serve, yet he came as the master. And he did not come to lord it over people. How did Jesus come? Humbly. He didn't lord it over anybody. He humbly lowered himself even to death on a cross. This is the person that we are following. So whether you are in the workplace as an employee or as a team leader, let us look to the one who is the ultimate servant, the ultimate master, the one who we are to follow in all of our relationships in the workplace, our Savior Jesus Christ. Let us bow our heads and contemplate these points. Heavenly Father, I just pray for the work of your Holy Spirit amongst us in these next minutes. As we think about the relationships that we do have, so much of our time is spent with colleagues, with fellow co-workers, with all of the different kinds of relationships that that entails. I pray that we would not be insincere people, but would be people who display Christ in every environment, who are willing to serve people as we serve you, Jesus. And I just pray, would you impress on our hearts where there's anything that you want to speak to our hearts right now, Lord. Let us take a moment for the work of your Holy Spirit now. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you've taught us how to serve. You've taught us the value of humility. And so I ask for that humble heart. Lord, you dwell in a high and holy place, but also though with those who are lonely, with a contrite spirit. I pray that for us, that in every environment we would go around not thinking of ourselves as better than others, but with that servant's heart. Not willing to lord it over people, but instead asking how we can serve. I pray that you would speak into every one of the relationships that we have. Teach us not to compartmentalize our lives, but instead be faithful servants to you, Jesus. In your name I pray this. Amen.